So good morning, church. Let's turn in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. Ezekiel, chapter 37. And we read from verse 1 to verse 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on this land that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they live and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. So let's close our eyes and pray. Oh Lord God, here is our word, which has endured for thousands of years. Your word, oh Lord, for all generations. Your word that is still powerful this morning as it was when it was given through your servant prophet Ezekiel. Is still able to work, O Lord, even amongst your people who are listening even this morning. So may you work the same way, O Lord. May you glorify your name the same way. May we know that indeed you are the Lord as you do this great work of salvation. So we give you praise, we give you honor, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So brethren, after last week's message we saw in the book of Lamentation, chapters 2, where we saw God's judgment on the people of Israel, I couldn't think of a better message to follow after that message we saw last week. And you will remember that last week we saw in that book of Lamentation, Prophet Jeremiah telling us of his sorrow, the sorrow that he went through as he saw his own people of Judah being killed by the Babylonians and being dragged to Babylon to be slaves. And we saw that this devastation that occurred caused so much heartache. It caused so much sorrow to the heart of Prophet Jeremiah, to the effect that he said the things that he said in that book of Lamentation. So we ended last week then having seen the people of Israel being dragged into Babylon to go and become slaves. And we saw how terrible that whole time was. So much so that Prophet Jeremiah said, "My eyes are spent with weeping," as he saw the things that were happening to his own people of Judah. So then in this book of Ezekiel where we are reading, we find ourselves in a situation where the people of Judah are now in Babylon. And they have been there for a couple of years. And they had settled in that place that was not their own, in the place where they were going to be slaves. I cannot compete with an aeroplane. Amen. So we find that even though there was this remnant that stayed behind in Jerusalem, that the Babylonians had left these poor people in Jerusalem to take care of the land. And we see now here that even those people who had stayed in Jerusalem, they had also been killed. And some of them had fled to Egypt. And when they got there, they found themselves judgment even as they got into that place of Egypt. So where we are reading, the situation is that the people of Judah are no more in the place of Jerusalem. And that the place of Jerusalem is in total ruins. There is nothing left in the place of Jerusalem. And we see that for long, those people who went to Babylon, they had longed to still go back to their own land of Jerusalem. But now they had recently received the news that things are so bad in Jerusalem that there is not even people left who are still living there. And that even the houses which were not burnt, they have now been burnt and there is nothing. There is ruins and there is nothing to go back to. And then the people of Judah realized that their hope was gone and that they had to prepare themselves to live in Babylon for a very long time. So this is the situation that we see as Prophet Ezekiel is seeing this vision from the Lord that we just read in chapter 37. He himself is in Babylon. He was part of the people who were taken from Jerusalem, from Judah, to go and become slaves in the place of Babylon. So we see here that God is using this vision that he gave his Ezekiel to become a picture of the condition of the people of Judah and also for God to communicate his intentions with regards to the people of Judah. So where we read, we see that God took prophet Ezekiel and he brought him down in the middle of a valley, in the middle of a place with nothing. And this place only had these bones. It was full of skeletons, full of bones which were many, and these bones were very dry. And we are told in verse 11 that these bones represented, it was a picture of the people of Israel, that the situation was compared by God to these skeletons, to these very dry bones, to show that there was no life left in the people of Israel. And in verse 11, God himself tells us what the people of Israel thought about themselves. As you go to verse 11, God says, "Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off." So it is clear that the people of Israel considered the situation to be hopeless. They did not see any hope for themselves. They could not see a way in which they could go back to the place of Jerusalem. They did not see an end to the judgment that they were going through. And we see that they spent their time in misery. They spent their time weeping. They spent their time in sorrow as they thought of the place of Jerusalem where they used to dwell. And this sorrow is captured in the book of Psalm 137. Let's just turn to the book of Psalm 137 and see what was the situation as they lived in this place of Babylon. Psalm 137, from verse 1 to verse 6. It says there, "By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hang our lyres, for there our captors required of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy." So we see here that they were tormented by their captors. They were tormented by the people of Babylon day and night. And these people were asking them to sing the joyful songs that they used to sing in Jerusalem. So they were basically mocking them. They were saying to them, "In Jerusalem you used to sing this joyful song. Now sing them here again." But here they say that we sat down and wept when we remembered Jerusalem. We see that their longing for Jerusalem was the greatest cause of their sorrow. For them to know that they are not going back home in a very long time was something that caused them to weep, to sit there and weep in those rivers of Babylon. And we saw in verse 11 of our text that they had said to themselves, "Our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, we are indeed cut off." And there they sat in those rivers of Babylon, weeping, crying out as they longed to see this place of Jerusalem. And we get a sense there that somehow as time was going by, their memories of their homelands was becoming less and less blurry. Because as time goes by, your memories start becoming not less clear as it used to be. And now they promise themselves, and they say to themselves, that if I forget you, Jerusalem, telling themselves that they should make sure that they do not forget the place where they used to be. So the question is then asked by God to prophet Ezekiel in verse 3. As he sees these bones which were dry, these bones which were dead, these bones which were a picture of Israel, the question then is asked by God to this prophet. He says, "Son of man, can these bones live?" God is basically saying to him, "Son of man, you see that these bones are very dry. There is no flesh in them. There is no life in them. But can they live?" That is the question that God was asking prophet Ezekiel. And it is also a question that the people of Israel were asking themselves. They were saying to themselves, can we ever go back to Jerusalem? Can we ever find ourselves back in the land of our fathers? Can God ever forgive us for the sins that we committed that caused us to find ourselves in this place of Babylon? Can the presence of the Lord come and live amongst us again? And we noticed that the people of Israel had given up hope that indeed they could ever see the goodness of the Lord again. They had proclaimed to themselves that indeed they were cut off. And we see that this which God was asking of Ezekiel was humanly impossible. We know that there are no dead and very dry bones which come to life. That dead things remain dead. But God still asked a question to Ezekiel. Can these bones live? And we see that Ezekiel answers. In verse 3 he says, and I answered, O Lord God, you know. So you will realize that Ezekiel here does not answer this question with real conviction. Instead, he takes the question back to God. He does not say they will indeed live. He says, O Lord God, you know. Because there is the recognition that humanly speaking, this is impossible. But Ezekiel, as a man of faith, he leaves a room for the possibility that God is able to do it. So the question was, is it possible for Israel to be restored to Jerusalem? Is it possible for a nation that had been scattered to many different areas of the world to be brought back into the land of the Palestinians? And Ezekiel says, O Lord God, you know. He said, God, it depends upon you. You are the only one who is able to do this very thing. Even though, from a human point of view, no one is able to do it. So, brethren, you will remember that this Israel was the church of God. There was no other church of God. Israel was the church of God. So the question then, from that point of view of Israel being the church, was, is it possible for the church to be restored? Is it possible for sacrifices to be made once more? Those sacrifices which were the pleasing aroma, that smell that was like a perfume that used to ascend into heaven. Is it possible for that aroma to go again into heaven? And is it possible for those who have been under the judgment of God for worshipping false gods and were now living amongst the people who worship false gods and they command this same Israel to do the same, is it possible for them to be restored to the true worship of God? And the answer we see is that even though it was humanly impossible, but God has the power to do it. And that is why prophet Ezekiel said, O Lord God, you know. There is a recognition that God is able to do this very thing. So we see then that prophet Ezekiel took the question back to God, and now he's sort of waiting for God to do something or to say something on whether he will make these bones to live. In verse 4, we see God giving an instruction to prophet Ezekiel. We see that God is determined to do something about these bones. He is determined to make these bones live. And now he is issuing an instruction to Ezekiel that he needs to follow to make these bones live. So we see an important lesson here, that God is using this human agent, this Ezekiel, to accomplish the work of bringing life to these very dry bones. Even though Ezekiel himself could not do it out of his own power, but God is using him as a channel to bring life to those bones. And God is using him to accomplish this great task that no human is able to do out of his own power. So the instruction is there then, in verse 4 to verse 6. And the instruction is for Ezekiel to prophesy to these bones. God is commanding them to preach, to prophesy, to preach to these bones. And to preach, he is to say this to these bones. Go just to the end of verse 4 there. He is to say, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel is being asked to preach life into these bones. And the authority he has to preach life into these bones, the authority he has to bring life into them, is to preach the word of the Lord. Is to tell these bones that which the word of the Lord says he must tell them. Is to tell the bones to listen to the words of the Lord. He's in a way to be a mouth of the Lord. Just to take what the Lord says and then to pass it through to these bones. Just a channel. Take exactly what the Lord says and then go and say to those bones. It's not to come up with his own words, but just to deliver the word of the Lord to these dry bones. And the word of the Lord says, I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin. And put breath in you, and you shall live. Remember that these were dry bones. Bones which had died long time ago. And yet the word of the Lord says flesh will come upon such bones. These bones will cease to be dry. And will now be covered by skin. So that they may become like bones of a living person, even as me and you are covered with skin, even this morning. And we see Ezekiel doing as he's told. He prophesied to these bones as commanded. And as he prophesied, there was a sound. The bones started to rattle and to come together. A head bone was attached to a neck bone, as it were. The legs were attached to the feet. The arms were attached to the hands. The ribs were attached to the spinal cord. And all of them came together and made a human structure. And then the sinews were laid on them and flesh came upon these bones and they were covered with skin. And all of that was accomplished as Ezekiel preached the word of the Lord to the bones as commanded by the Lord. He undertook the task of preaching. He preached the word of the Lord because that is the only way flesh could come upon the dry bones. And now that is a lesson for us. Because if indeed there is to be a work of God among the dry bones of Olivan, then the preaching of the word of the Lord must happen. Preachers must do what Ezekiel did, take the word from the Lord and pass it to the dry bones. There's not to be anything else to be done. Preachers must ignore the fact that it is humanly impossible for dead and dry bones to come to life, but rather to say, oh Lord God, you know. And then proceed to prophesy to the dry bones. And preachers should ignore the cries of the church, speaking like the people of Israel were speaking, who were saying, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. But rather to listen to the commands of the Lord, to prophesy his word to the bones, and flesh will come upon them. So we see then that this preaching, which is dependent upon the word of the Lord, in obedience to his command, because he's the one who's telling you, you must do it. And in recognition that God is able to do that which he commands, is the solution to the problem of the dry bones. That it does not matter where the dry bones are, but if this is done, then God will be able to bring flesh to these dry bones. And there must be prophesying to these dry bones, because even the dry bones cannot ignore the word of the Lord. They will rattle, they will make a sound, and they will come together and have flesh upon them. And then there is one thing we see here, that Ezekiel did as he was commanded, that the bones may have come together and the flesh may have covered these bones, but there was still no life in these bones. They were still dead. The only difference was that they were no longer dry. They were no longer scattered everywhere. There were now bones on bones and flesh upon the bones and skin covering the bones. And you will remember that the question that God had asked to prophet Ezekiel was not whether the bones could come together and whether the flesh could cover them and whether the skin will be there. The question was, son of man, can these bones live? And we do not see life. We do not see evidence of life after Ezekiel had done these very things. And Ezekiel recognizes in verse 8 that all these good things had happened, but there was no breath in these bones. The very thing that was needed for life in dead people, in dead bones, was still missing. And we see in verse 9 that God then tells Ezekiel, just see verse 9. He says to him, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on this slain that they may live. We see that the command here, although it is a command to prophesy as was the previous command, but it is different in that it involves prophesying to the breath and not to the bones. So the first time he prophesied to the bones directly, but now he is to prophesy to the breath. The focus changes. It moves from the bones to the breath. The bones are for a while ignored, and the attention is on the breath. And we see that the nature of this prophesying is pleading in nature, instead of merely relaying the word of the Lord, but to plead with the breath. And Ezekiel is asked to plead with the breath to come from the four winds. He is to say, come, O breath. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these lanes that they may live. The words themselves are clear that Ezekiel has to plead with this breath. And you see that there is a sort of desperation. when Ezekiel has to say, oh breath, he has to plead with this breath. That is the way that they use to show that they are pleading, to say, oh breath. And we see the same thing. That there is a recognition here that these bones will not come to life unless this breath comes from the four winds. And to breathe on this land that they may live. So we see here that Ezekiel is to plead. That this pleading is a sort of a prayer. He is to pray as it were that the breath must manifest itself to these dry bones, to these slain, these dry bones, which although they have breath, they have a flesh, but they do not have breath. And he is to cry out and say, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on this slain, that they may live. So we see here a picture of the Spirit of God. And Ezekiel is to plead with the Spirit of God to come and to enter these dead bones which represent Israel, so the spiritual resurrection can be complete. He is to plead and beg and say, come, O Spirit of God, and enter this lane that they may live. Brethren, there are no dry bones that could ever come to life without there being pleading with the Spirit of God. And not all of us can preach, but all of us can undertake in this second task that is being given to Ezekiel, the task of calling upon the breath to come, the task of pleading with the Spirit of God to come and enter the slain, that the slain may live. And all of us, when we see this place of Olivet, when we see the drug addicts and the Naupe sellers, I was laughing this morning, I see this guy here, he's selling Naupe, and he was counting his money. So as we see these things happening in our town, our duty is to do what was commanded for Ezekiel to do, to cry out to the Spirit of God and to say, come from the four winds, O Spirit, and breathe on this lane that they may live. Because indeed they are slain, they are dead, there is no life in them, and the preaching alone can only get them to a certain point, that then at that point there needs to be a spirit which comes and to enter them, that life may come into them. So we see then that as Ezekiel pleads with the breath came into the slain, and these slain, these bones, stood on their feet, and they became an exceedingly great army. And we see that they did not just become mere people, but we see that they became an exceedingly great army. They became stronger as a result of this resurrection that had just happened to them, as the breath had entered them. And we are told then, in verse 12 to verse 14, that this was a picture of God showing the work of resurrection, or the work of restoration, that he will accomplish in the life of the people of Israel, when he will raise them from their graves. A grave is where people who are dead go. And he says, it's a picture that he will raise them from their graves and bring them back into the place, the land of Israel. So Babylon was their grave, but he will raise them up. And we see that it was an undertaking by God that even though their hope is lost, yet God will bring them back into that land that is full of milk and honey. And it was a message of hope to them, that although they are being humiliated in Babylon, yet they shall be restored in their homes and they shall rejoice. But not only will they be brought back to the land, but God himself will put his spirit upon them. He says in verse 14, "And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live." So God will not only bring them back to the land, but the breath will come from the four winds and make them live. There will not just be a physical restoration. They will not just go back physically into the land of Jerusalem, but there will also be a spiritual restoration to them as well. In a way, there will be a revival happening amongst them. The Spirit of God will dwell amongst them as it used to dwell with that pillar of cloud. The presence of God will go with them once more. And God will reveal himself to them. They will be his people and he shall be their God. And we see that the church of God at the time will be restored to its place. That the sacrifices will once again be done in the place of Jerusalem. That there will once again be that pleasing aroma ascending up unto heaven. So this was the message of hope that God was bringing upon them. But then, is that the main purpose for why God is doing these things? That they may just go back to Jerusalem, that they may just be able to be restored back to God. What is the whole purpose of God undertaking to do this very thing? Because you will remember, we mentioned last week that the people of Israel deserved to be in Babylon. They deserved every little judgment that was happening upon them. And we saw why God went to such great lengths to bring judgment upon them. But then why doesn't God leave them there in Babylon, that they may die there and be forgotten, and then God can go and adopt a new nation? What is the whole purpose of God desiring to restore them in this way? And we see the answer in verse 6 and also in verse 13 and verse 14. We see these words that are being mentioned as we are reading this vision. That God says three times that, "And then you shall know that I am the Lord." He's saying it in verse 6, he's saying it in verse 13, he's also saying it in verse 14. So we see then that the whole purpose of this restoration of Israel was not merely for Israel's sake, that they may stop sulking now and stop crying now and then things are fine, but the whole purpose was that the Lord may be known, that the name of the Lord may be known even there amongst the Gentiles where they were. So as the Lord accomplishes these miraculous works, he's seeking to be known. He wants his glory to fill the earth. He wants Israel to recognize his love for them. He wants Israel to see his faithfulness towards them, and for people to speak about what he had done for years to come. He said, "The Lord did that. What a wonderful God he did." Isn't what we are doing now, as we are reading this book of Ezekiel 7, what do we get? We don't speak about Israel, but we speak about the Lord. This is what the Lord did. something which was humanly impossible, but he did it. So what is happening when we are looking at it that way? We are knowing that the Lord is Lord. And as these people of Israel are going to be restored as they are living amongst the Gentiles, these Gentiles will see that indeed the God of Israel, he is Lord. And we saw as well King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 4 recognizing that indeed the Lord is God. And we saw as well when this prophecy was fulfilled that the people of Babylon recognized that the Lord is God. He's bringing his own people back into their own lands. And in the book of Ezra and the book of Nehemiah, we see that the people of Israel, when they went back to Jerusalem, they were full of worship for the Lord, that indeed he has done that which he promised. So the whole purpose is that the people should know that the Lord, he is God. That the God of Israel is a faithful God. He's not a God who leaves his people in judgment forever, but he restores them. He is faithful to his people. So that is the whole purpose that we see for this message in the book of Ezekiel chapter 37. So in closing, brethren, I want you to believe me when I tell you that it was more humanly impossible for Israel to be restored to its land than it is for God to work the work of salvation in this place of all of them. That humanly speaking, if we were to compare the situation, it was impossible, because these people of Israel, they were scattered into many different areas, so specifically so that they may not go back. If God had done that work in such situations, surely he is able to work amongst us, amongst this place of Olivet, as we undertake this task that he had given to Ezekiel to do. He's able to do that. He's able to pour out his spirit even in this place of Olivet and work wondrously more than he did even in that place of Babylon. So then we have to believe God for the same miracle even in this place of Olivet, that he is able to take these very dry bones and put flesh upon them and cover them with skin and then call the breath from the four winds that they may come and breathe on this land that they may live. So when we see these Naupe addicts which are roaming in the streets, we have a lot of them here. You look at that person and say, this is a very dry bone. All the people will tell you nothing will ever happen to such people. The police don't even bother arresting them anymore. The community is even tired, they're just ignoring them. They are hopeless. You can't even send them to a rehab center, because it's just wasting your time. They're very dry bones. But God is able to work. As his word is being relayed to those dry bones, flesh will come upon them. As the pleading is being done to the spirit to say, come, O spirit, from the four winds, come and breathe on this land that they may live. God is able to do that. And we have to believe that the same God of Ezekiel is a God who has not changed. Is able to work this very same miracle. But we have a task on our hands to every day cry out and say, come from the four winds of breath and breathe on this land that they may live. And then we stand in expectation for the breath of God to come. And when He comes, those bones will stand and become an exceedingly great army. May the Lord bless you. Let's close our eyes and pray. Indeed, O Lord, when we say that we are God who has not changed, sometimes we do not really believe it. But indeed, we are God who has not changed. The same God we read about here is the same God I am praying to even now. But, O Lord, we lack faith in You. We are faithless towards You, O Lord. Help us to see and to really believe that indeed You are an unchanging God. That You are a God who works the same way today as You did back then. And You are able to do this great work of salvation. Even here where we are, in this place of Oliven which is full of dry bones, You are able to make these bones live. Because You, O Lord, know whether these dry bones can live. It is humanly impossible. We cannot do it. But You are able to do it. We pray then that we may be obedient like this man Ezekiel. That we may just prophesy. We may just relay Your word. And that we may call upon the breath to come from the four winds. And to breathe for the slain of this place that they may live. Help us, O Lord, even as we live here, not to forget these words, but to take them with us to our homes, to stay in our minds even the whole week, that we may remember that You are able to do this week, this work, and that we may call upon You to do it. Be with us, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.